It was 10 years ago today that federal agents raided a textile plant in the south end of New Bedford. Hundreds of workers were detained. Some were deported. Others were able to resolve their cases, but some remain in legal limbo today. With fears rising in the immigrant community over President Trump's stance on illegal immigration, today we recall that raid, one of the biggest immigration raids in recent memory, from the perspective of those who were rounded up in New Bedford. WBUR's Simone Rios reports.
Aquí estamos en la Maico Bianco, donde trabajamos cuando fue la redada.
Maria del Carmen Villeda was willing to deal with working in a factory that a veteran federal agent likened to an industrial-age sweatshop. But Villeda's world turned upside down one freezing morning when Immigration and Customs Enforcement raided a factory that employed her and 360 others who had no papers. When the agents swarmed the building, she hid underneath tables. 6 hours passed before she was found.
While I was hiding, I was thinking of my mother and my children. My mother is sick. Who will send her money? How will I help my kids get ahead? Then the dogs found me. If it wasn't for the dogs, maybe they would not have found me.
Villeda was deported, but would ultimately return to New Bedford. The roundup was the result of an investigation by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. ICE claimed Michael Bianco Incorporated had, quote, knowingly and specifically been hiring large numbers of illegal aliens. Bianco was a recipient of Department of Defense contracts, making gear for American soldiers like knapsacks and vests. Former ICE agents involved tell WBUR the raid was a matter of critical infrastructure, and the order to arrest every person in the country illegally came from the highest levels of government.
She won't take.
A video posted on YouTube days after the raid shows volunteer Gloribel Mota holding a sick baby.
The mom is detained, was taken. The baby hasn't drunk, is dehydrated, has a fever, cried all night, and now we'll go into the emergency room to see what can be done.
Harry Spence was the state's director of social services at the time of the raid. He says ICE should have had independent people screening detainees to determine if they had children and prevent the kind of separation that took place.
I said, oh, well, we asked every one of them if they had any children. And our answer was, these are Guatemalans, you're ICE. You think they're going to tell you the truth and have you trace down their children, their grandparents, their husbands, whatever? Oh, yeah.
ICE agents involved in the raid, who we'll hear from in tomorrow's story, say they made every effort to prevent parents from being separated from their children. It's difficult to account for all 361 workers arrested in the raid. ICE did not respond to multiple requests for comment, but attorneys familiar with the cases estimate that 90 people were released in the days after the raid on humanitarian grounds, while about 150 were deported. Advocates for immigrants in New Bedford call the Bianco raid a community-wide trauma that's still felt 10 years later, but it's also viewed as a galvanizing event that encouraged immigrants to stand up for themselves.
Les grita a las mujeres, con que pasa dos minutos.
A group of workers discuss their treatment at a fish factory in New Bedford. It's a work night, and the workers are gathered at Centro Comunitario Trabajadores, or Community Workers Center. The group was founded in the aftermath of the roundup.
Pero sí, lo que sí estamos conscientes de que CCT nace.
The Community Workers Center was like the fruit of the attack against us. With every attack, something new is created. This is how we defend our rights.
La idea es que nosotros defendemos nuestros derechos.
Adrián Ventura heads the center that organizes workers from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. Of all the people who didn't have papers at the time of the raid, Ventura estimates the majority now have their status in order.
Lo que ha cambiado es que
what has changed since the Bianco raid is that many of the workers now know their rights. Many now fight for their benefits.
Community leaders and activists sprang into action in the hours and days following the raid. But Ondine Sniffen was the only immigration attorney around early in the day. She says politicians stood up to help reunite families then. But 10 years later, it's the people who stand up.
Now we have these massive protests and people carrying signs for immigrant rights, and I think that gives the immigrant community some hope that before another raid like Michael Bianco happens, more people are aware and there will be a greater outcry.
President Obama came to be known as deporter-in-chief among immigration advocates. Now President Trump is raising the threat of deportation as he plans to hire 10,000 new ICE agents. Sniffen says her practice in New Bedford is getting flooded with calls from immigrants afraid of what's coming. In 2007, very few people in New Bedford knew a raid was coming. One of those people was then-Mayor Scott Lang. He thinks the raid was a message from President George W. Bush about what would happen if immigration reform did not happen.
If that raid was a demonstration for the country as to what would happen if you began mass deportation, we were at ground zero.
Immigration reform never happened then. Millions of immigrants are still holding their breath. 10 years after she was deported, Maria del Carmen Villeda stands outside the factory where she was arrested. Back in Honduras, she says she found herself in poverty and menaced by violence, the same situation that caused her to leave her children and travel north in the first place. Only now the gangs were reaching new levels of brutality. She says they killed multiple family members and kidnapped her son.
This is why I went to the embassy to get a visa. I was denied. They killed an uncle and two cousins. I said, I am leaving. I left my house at 1 a.m, escaping from the gangs.
In the fall of 2015, Villeda returned to the U.S. without papers and turned herself in to immigration. Officers put a monitor around her ankle, and she says she's been wearing it for a year and a half. Now she has little recourse but to pray her asylum request will be granted. We'll see what happens with the new president, Villeda says. I hope God will touch his heart. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Simone Rios.
And now you'll hear part two of this story, which aired on Tuesday, March 7th. It was 10 years ago this week when federal agents swarmed into a textile plant in New Bedford, arresting 361 workers in what was described as the largest immigration raid in state history. Yesterday, we told the story from the perspective of those detained. Today, we talked to the agents involved in the raid. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, did not respond to multiple requests for comment, but WBUR spoke to four retired ICE agents who planned and carried out the operation. Three of them call New Bedford their hometown. WBUR's Simone Rios reports.
Under the cover of darkness on a freezing March morning, 300 agents headed for the south end of New Bedford. At the helm was Bruce Fokart, special agent in charge of ICE investigations in New England.
It's very similar to a professional football game, you know, knowing what you have to do the day of and your responsibility. For example, there may be a team that was responsible for searching for documents. There may have been a team that was responsible for making the criminal arrest.
The raid stemmed from an investigation into Michael Bianco Incorporated, a company ICE alleged was knowingly hiring people in the country illegally. Bianco made gear for American soldiers, receiving approximately $230 million in Defense Department contracts. Fokart says the raid was thus a matter of critical infrastructure. Retired from the agency now, Fokart says he'd go back and do the Bianco raid all over again. However, he regrets not having given the community more answers about the detained workers.
It was almost as if we did what we had to do, and we took our ball and went home. And because we failed to answer these pertinent questions about where their loved ones were going, it created a vacuum.
The vacuum led to accusations that ICE agents mistreated workers arrested in the raid. Fokart stands by his actions and those of his agents. If there were any mistreated workers at the Bianco factory, retired ICE agent Eric Karen says it was happening before ICE came in and broke up the operation.
The conditions were horrendous for the workers in that facility.
Karen says he initiated and led the investigation into Bianco. Court documents show the average worker earned $7.20 an hour with no benefits. There were also charges of labor law violations.
They weren't able to speak while working. They were given fines for taking too long in the restrooms. The heat wasn't put on. Quite frankly, it was a turn of the century factory producing articles for the U.S. military.
The raid led to the conviction of Bianco owner Francesco Insolia for employing people in the country illegally. The company also agreed to pay a $1.5 million fine and nearly $500,000 for unpaid overtime. Insolia said in an email that the company followed guidelines given by federal and state government, and the workers enjoyed working in his factory. Karen says because the company was producing gear for the military, he saw the operation as a matter of national security.
It put our men and women serving in our military at harm's way because we don't know the intentions of foreign individuals coming into our defense industry without the proper vetting.
I don't think we need to get into national security, anything else.
That's Bruce Chadbourne, who was head of deportation operations in New England when ICE raided the factory in New Bedford.
At that time, the issue was that these people are being abused, and that's why we were contacted by outside sources to remedy the situation.
Chadbourne's job was to handle the transportation of workers detained in the raid. He says he had made the argument to higher-ups in Washington that there never should have been a mass detention in the first place, but he was overruled.
I just didn't think it was advantageous to hold these people. I wanted to use our limited resources to go after serious criminals.
That kind of sentiment is not uncommon among ICE agents. But Albert Orlowski, a retired deportation officer who also took part in the Bianco raid, says otherwise law-abiding immigrants are easier to find.
If you got the drug dealer who's going from girlfriend to girlfriend, you never know where he's at. He's not working, so he's probably using a false identity. Now, if you want to catch somebody who's constantly working, like I say, in the fish house, he's easy to get because he's going to go to work every day in the same place. You're going to get his routine down so you'll know what time he gets out of his house. Once he gets out of his house, scoop him up.
ICE scooped up 361 people in the Bianco raid. The operation was among a number of roundups involving hundreds of workers under President George W. Bush. Such high-profile raids subsided under the next administration, even though President Obama deported more people than any other president. But now, immigration enforcement is taking a new turn.
Anyone who has entered the United States illegally is subject to deportation. That is what it means to have laws and to have a country. Otherwise, we don't have a country.
That was Donald Trump as candidate. Now President Trump plans to hire 15,000 new ICE and Border Patrol agents to fulfill his campaign promise. New agents could be faced with the same questions as those who carried out the Bianco raid. Is it really a good idea to break up families by deporting people without serious criminal records? Albert Orlowski.
I have no remorse at all because every person I removed from this country who I was responsible for, I realized that person has broken the law. He knew what he was doing. Do I feel bad as a human being? Yes. I feel bad for the children. Of course I do.
But Orlowski says we're a nation of laws, and it's up to Congress, not ICE, to change them. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Simone Rios.